And let's go. Yo, it's Brigham Young Money, and you got Kyle and Jordan here. Hello, Jordan.
Hello, everybody. It's a wonderful day.
Yeah, it's good to see you. It's nice outside.
18th of April, and Utah has a hockey team now.
Utah has a hockey team, baby. Utah HC or whatever we're going to be called. You know, are we really going to roll out with just like, so Utah hockey team plays this fall, this winter, whatever, and they're not going to have a team name by then, I don't think.
No, they're going to be essentially the like default choice you have on like a create a team module.
Am I crazy for thinking Utah Hockey Club is kind of cool?
It's okay. I mean, it's like,
I kind of like
it's
that.
Better than like the other copyrighted options that like came out today. Like, I'll take that over like Blizzard or Fury or
it's going to be Blizzard. Venom. It's going to be Utah.
It's going to be, we know it's going to be Blizzard. Like,
I'm just glad it's not Blizzards with like a plural. That would suck. We're playing the Blizzards. You know, that sucks. I don't like that.
Sponsored by Dairy Queen.
That's right. Wow.
It's a perfect corporate tie-in.
That's brand
synergy.
You'd
be stupid not to do it.
I think so. I really think you would, honestly, at this point. With all like the, you know, you got like Shams, who's sponsored by FanDuel, reporting on NBA players getting banned for life for gambling. It's just crazy, dude. It's synergistic. I don't know how else to describe it. It's like,
I also think it's funny that the only time that like pro sports franchises want to come to Utah is when they have completely exhausted their ability to extort like municipalities in their own state.
Dude. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So for those who haven't been paying attention, I got kind of sucked up in like, this has been one of the main things I've paid attention to for some reason. I mean, we're sports guys. We're dumb jock sports guys, obviously. You can hear it. You can hear it in my voice clearly. the Arizona Coyotes, formerly the Phoenix Coyotes, have an owner who sucks. Or they had an owner who sucks.
Several, actually.
They've had several owners who sucks. The most recent one, Morello, I think is his name.
Yeah, Alex Morello.
He's bad. And the Arizona Coyotes have been playing in a multi-purpose field house at ASU's campus in Tempe for quite a while. It's like a 5,000 cap room.
4,600 to be exact. Okay. And also, just in case, like, is that small for a hockey arena? Yes, as a matter of fact, it's about 1,000 more people than the Salt Lake City Sports Complex, where the University of Utah's club hockey team plays.
Yeah, it's like, it's not great. And like, even some of like the smaller NHL arenas are pretty consistently, they're a lot bigger than this.
It would be shocking to find an NHL arena that has less than 10,000 seats in it.
Mm-hmm.
And also like with an arena that's like 4,600, the Utah Grizzlies have been like outdrawing the Arizona Coyotes by nearly double.
Yeah, and like anytime you look up NHL attendance, they all omit the Coyotes just because it like skews the data too much, because it's like they play in a 4,600 cap field house in Tempe. So
yeah, they're you know, they're selling out every game, which is good.
Yeah, that's good.
It's also half of what the ECHL team here in Utah is getting. And just to put that in like baseball terms, that's like a double A team outdrawing the Dodgers.
Yeah. Yeah. A friend of mine who used to live, he's mainly like a RSL supporter. Like he has a supporters group, for RSL. He used to live down in Arizona. He's down there in Phoenix for a while. And he said, when I was living in Phoenix, the Coyotes were heavily recruiting Phoenix Rising supporters. That's, a non-MLS professional soccer team down there in Phoenix. We started Didier Drogba weirdly played for, and was he coaching it? I can't remember. Anyway,
is Donovan still coaching down there?
Donovan was at San Diego. I don't know.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know where he's at now. But anyway, he said, we started a soccer style supporters group and they offered us free tickets to any game we could get 20 plus people out to. After 8 to 10 games, the owner decided we were annoying and banned all of us from the arena. It was an interesting time. Great little anecdote. So
was
basically,
that before or after they got evicted from the arena?
That was when they were at Mullet, I think.
Oh my God. Like, yeah. The thing about this is too, it's like, if you look at like the organizational history of like the Arizona Coyotes from like when they moved from Winnipeg to Phoenix and all that,
yeah,
it's just been one disaster after another.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like once they left like downtown Phoenix to go to like Glendale, mm-hmm. it was just an unmitigated disaster from that point forward. I mean, yeah. also just because like a lot of their owners were like the BlackBerry guys, which, you know, at a certain point in the 2010s kind of became a little cash strapped for some reason.
Yeah.
Smartphones.
Yes. So they played in after moving from Winnipeg, they played in the Footprint Center in Phoenix from 97 to 2003, the Gila River Arena in Glendale from 2004 to 2021, and then have been in Mullet ever since. They have been rumored to get a new stadium and different sites for potential stadiums for such a long time, and it never materialized. Their owner sucks. They've been losing this last season that just ended for them a couple of days ago. They lost $60 million over the course of that season. They're operating at quite a loss. And their owner, Morello, gets to cash in pretty heavily by selling the franchise to Ryan Smith.
That's the dream right there.
Yeah. So
just,
he made your job
so horribly, you just get $1 billion at the end of it.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he paid. I think it was between $300 and $400 million. And so he made $600 million.
Yeah, he flipped it so easily. And that was because like when he bought the Coyotes, they were so cash strapped for ownership and all that too. Like the NHL owned them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the old owners pretty much just defaulted and the NHL was like, all right, fine, we'll run your team, I guess.
Yeah.
And it just like it just kept happening and all that too.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, he cared so much about the Arizona Coyotes that when they got forced out of Gila River Arena and all that, they forgot the banners of the retired players. Like Shane Doan's like retired jersey got thrown in the trash, and luckily, like, and some like fan just saw it. There's like, wait, that looks like Shane Doan's retired jersey. And then grabbed it and then like gave it to him last night.
That's brutal.
That is the history of the Arizona Coyotes. And like with this deal and everything, they just go into like a dormant state where they can come back in 5 years. I don't think it's going to happen because yeah. the way this is kind of operated with that, there's no way. There's absolutely no way you can do this.
Yeah. And the optimistic folks down there are saying 5 years.
They don't have a place to put an arena. Like they talked about the Scottsdale site last time too. Yeah. And Scottsdale's mayor had to come out. There's like, there is no way politically,
that's
physically or metaphysically that we can do this, because we would have to lay down miles upon miles of water and sewage lines to this arena that we're not going to do, because I don't know if you know this or not. Yeah. We're in the fucking desert.
Yeah. Yeah. So, about a week ago, it kind of just started popping up. There were some NHL reporters, beat guys, some people locally who started to be like, oh, and I should mention earlier in that week, Ryan Smith just tweeted, hey, if we were to get a hockey team, what should we call it? And he was
it should be noted with that too, that Ryan Smith has been trying to get a hockey team since early 2021.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's been on this beat for a minute. And
the fact that he didn't have any of those things lined up is like, did you really want the team, man?
Yeah, at least he's not just creating it out of his own beautiful brain, because that would be problematic considering what other stuff comes out of that. So he's a piece of work. How do you describe? I mean, Ryan Smith is so desperate to be liked, to be seen as cool, that he would not be doing the stuff that some of these, like, we're operating on a spectrum here, right? It's like of billionaire sports owners, and Ryan Smith's negative qualities are pretty significantly better than some of these like really bad sports owners. Talking purely on a sports ownership level, not necessarily how they make their money and all of that. But anyway, so it all materialized really quickly. It started to get reported that they were going to get moved to Salt Lake City. This came at a bit of a surprise to a lot of people locally in Arizona, because they were apparently trying, there was a land auction or something happening this summer in June. So they were thinking that they could just hold out to that. And then like, that would be the sign of whether or not it was sticking around. They're not going to make it to that, because it not only did this materialize really quickly, the announcement of the announcement materialized really quickly, like essentially saying, hey, this could happen as soon as April 18th. And hey, the NHL is actually drafting two schedules for next season, including the and one includes the team being in Salt Lake. And sure enough, all of that was true. Within a week and week and a half of those reports, again, today, they just announced that the NHL, it's official. The Jazz posted about it. That's how you know. I think Ryan Smith met the team last night or today or something. I don't know if Ryan Smith went to the game last night, or was that last night their final game? Yeah.
I can't imagine he went to the game, or at least were like visible within the stands, because he might have gotten murdered.
Maybe. Yeah. There were Salt Lake sucks chants happening. Listen, like
you got our number.
Yeah. I mean, you know where to find us.
You know what? Like, that's the thing, is like, I can't be mad about that too.
I'm not mad about that.
How
at all.
Dare you it's chant bummer, Salt dude. Lake sucks. It's like, we're getting a hockey team and they're losing one. Like,
like it's like scoreboard, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Too. It's like, yeah, it sucks for you guys. That's too bad. Anyway, I'm going to really enjoy watching my hockey team in September.
Yeah, I feel bad. Like, I started to consume a bit of, there's like a local sports outlet there. They have like, they have podcasts and shows, whatever, they cover all their different teams. And I was watching and listening to their one on the Coyotes, and they're just really bummed and really sad. And we're telling stories from different bummed, sad fans. And I'm like, listen, I get it. And it sucks that it has to come at the expense of all those people, but it's just, I mean, they're mad at the wrong folks, quite honestly, because it didn't have to be like that.
This is also like, we've talked about this before in past episodes, not too, like, but this is the problem with like sports franchises being like a billionaire's plaything.
Yeah.
Is that they can break it and go home whenever they want to.
Yep. Yeah. Also something that's, we talked about this a little bit before, and something I think is kind of interesting, because the Coyotes are supposed to be playing at, they will be playing at the Delta Center.
Yeah.
And the Delta Center is where the Jazz play. The Delta Center has hosted NHL games in the past. It's not an ideal situation. It holds probably three times, at least two or three times as many people as Mullet Arena does for hockey, but there's obstructed views, et cetera. And Andy Larson was taking some questions about this stuff, because Andy went down to the game yesterday from the Salt Lake Tribune.
Yeah, Andy got to be the last guy out of Saigon on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's confusing is that the Delta Center, of course, is where they're going to be playing. But then there have been some conflicting reports, because I don't know if people remember, but Ryan Smith released like a big plan for an entertainment district. There's all this stuff that's up in the air. We've got the Olympics coming in 10 years. Ryan Smith is throwing around this idea of course revitalizing downtown, which means like building more like outdoor shopping and like another movie theater and ostensibly a new arena, but like
we're gonna merge all of the other two outdoor malls we have into one massive mega mall.
It's really funny to think about, because like the Gateway, which was the original big outdoor mall in Utah, it died as a shopping center. It sort of half exists as like apartments, multi-use, like
performative shopping, art center, weirdly enough.
Offices, yeah, and like some bars and stuff, like in a food court. It's like, I don't know. It's fine. It's interesting. They got a movie theater. They got a comedy club there. But and then, of course, the churches, the thing they owned, City Creek. But the gateway was built in advance of the Olympics the first time around. All this stuff around about building something else the second time around may or may not include the stadium. But what's confusing is that there are some conflicting reports. Andy was talking about how he said this was the biggest surprise out of today's announcement, that they say they plan to rent, that they plan to just renovate the Delta Center. That was at odds with what they've said previously. Truly don't know which happened. So they may be walking back a little bit on the building a new stadium. And like, I don't, do they need to build a new, like if they renovate the Delta Center to be ideal for hockey, does it, do they need to build a new stadium?
Well, I mean, that's kind of an interesting question on that one too, because one of the problems with the Delta Center when it comes to hockey is you have a lot of obstructed views of like certain goals and all that too. Like if you're in a corner or something like that, you can't see one of the goals.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you fix that by renovation unless you're just going to take down the entire concourses, which I don't think you're going to do.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, like I've watched hockey there too. I think I went to like a Kings Sharks, like exhibition game there too. And like, you can watch hockey there, but it's the same reason why like the Islanders didn't last at like the Barclays Center.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, this is a basketball arena that we're forcing hockey into. And one, it takes away a few thousand seats that we can't sell. And two, it's just not a very pleasant experience to watch in.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I thought the whole plan was to build like a separate arena too, which is why they passed that $1 billion bill through the legislature and why Salt Lake City is divvying up a 0.5% of sales tax just to go to that as well.
Yeah.
Like there's money flowing here. So if it's just like to knock down a couple pillars in the Delta Center, like someone's walking away with like a good $500 million.
Yeah. And yeah, all that legislature has been, the legislature has passed all of this, the Salt Lake City Council. I guess the legislature allowed, pass something that would allow the Salt Lake City Council to pass something to fund this using tax money. Of course, like the city won't have ownership over the team that they're helping facilitate. Whatever. It's fine.
Of course not. And also you get a nice exemption for property tax for all this too. So it's not even going to go help Salt Lake City schools.
No.
Don't we love municipal politics, everybody?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. It's pretty interesting how quickly this is all happening, I guess. But like the question kind of remains of where, Delta Center, I think still, if they can make it work, it's a good arena, man. I like a lot of the Arizona people were talking trash about how old the Delta Center is compared to like other NHL arenas.
You play in a stadium that's owned by a college.
I know. That's really funny coming from them. But like they've renovated it at least for NBA games. It's great. I haven't been to a hockey game there, so I know they'll have some work to do there. But anyway, so that's good because I am trying to be a hockey fan. So I'm excited to have another team here to appreciate. And yeah, Salt Lake, you can chant all you want, baby. We got ourselves a little chill team.
It's going to be great. And I guess the mantle's on to me to start a podcast about that one since you got soccer and Greg's got jazz.
That's right. Yeah. It's
fucking bullshit, man.
Well, okay. Well, then the other thing is like, the Millers, former owners of the Jazz, are they still minority owners in the Jazz? I can't remember.
I think they retain like a small percentage, but okay. It's like 5% or something like that. It's like some sort of like something that deals with the trust or something like that too, where they can't.
Well, they got rid of it. Initially, they had put the Jazz in a blind trust to where it wouldn't be sold or moved, and then Gail realized her kids are stupid, and then she's like, okay, never mind, we're done with this. So they took all that money out and basically put it into real estate instead, which for them was a much better idea, it seems. But like even like her, I think her son used to be the CEO and now it's Steve Greg. Sarks, but yeah. Anyway, so no more Millers over there, but the Millers are actively trying to bring an MLB team here. We haven't heard anything about that for a minute. And there's a whole proposed site and everything for the baseball stadium. I think that probably still happens. Don't know when.
Oh, it's going to happen when Vegas tells the A's to go to hell.
You think that's going to happen?
Oh, they're not building that site in Vegas.
Really?
Like the thing about like the A's is like situation when it comes to Vegas and all that is they've done nothing with it.
Yeah.
Like they have a plan to build an arena and all that, or a stadium, I guess, whatever you want to call it. but like nothing has really gone towards it. That's why they're playing in Sacramento now, or they're going to after this season. And yeah. like everything is a disaster with the A's. So like it could very much be the same sort of situation that you have with Phoenix too, where the uncertainty of the situation where we don't know where we're going to play. We don't have shovels in the ground to build a new stadium anywhere. Mm-hmm. Looks like this state and city that's really willing to play ball for pretty much anything at this point will build us a stadium and will probably give us a good fan base. Let's just move there.
Interesting. Okay. Calling the shot. I hope that happens. I guess we'll see. I also just like if that were to move, how would you feel about them keeping the name?
Well, I mean, the A's have moved like 15 times. Like,
yeah, but I have a feeling I worry that they would try to change it. But I love the name. The Athletics is fucking sick. I like
that. Oh, it's absolutely sick. But I think like one of the reasons why they moved out of Oakland was that Oakland wanted to retain the name. Oh, and like, nice. And that's where like the lease, like continued lease problems broke down a little bit too. It was like MLB and also John Fisher was like, we're not going to give you the Athletics name. That's pretty much the only thing that's of any worth with this franchise anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, we'll see if that happens. Not sure if the NHL situation impacts that at all. Kind of might be used as like a potential proving ground to see if we can make a new franchise work here. We haven't had a new, I mean, aside from NWSL, we haven't had a new team show up here in quite some time. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. So, okay. There's been some other stuff going on. What do you want to talk about first? Do you want to talk about Spencer Cox having a literal TED talk, or do you want to talk about the furry fever going down in Payson, Utah?
Well, personally, I want to talk about Donald Trump falling asleep in court a bunch of times, which I thought was funny.
What's been going on with, I mean, okay, I can't keep track. Sometimes I need somebody to just lay out how many different court cases and what they're all about for me. I've yet to see that.
So this is the Stormy Daniels hush money trial. The
campaign finance violations, yes. Potentially. Okay.
And they just barely did jury selection for that one, too. So essentially they've got all 12 now. Do they have
the jury?
Yes, they managed to find 12 people with no opinions on anything in New York City, which
I saw. Was it Clay Travis's show? Somebody was like, I think it was Clay Travis, but he was essentially saying we need like sleeper cell people, like try to get on the jury so you can essentially acquit Donald Trump of this. Pretty amazing stuff.
Well, that's, I mean, like in jury selection, all that too, they were very thorough about it too, because like they were going through everyone's like social medias. Like, did you ever say anything about the president?
Really?
And then like, they would just read off like the quotes, like he's a fat ass bitch. just every sort of insulting thing you could have about it. And he's sitting there too, which makes it beautiful for a lot of reasons.
That's awesome.
But it's like, I can't believe his body looks like that. He looks like he has a Kawatu inside of him.
Why would that disqualify you from jury service by just analyzing the man's crazy physique?
Well, it's just jury selection, too. So, like, they go for, like, the median voter type, too. So, if you have, like, a Punisher skull along with, like, a trans flag on your car, you might be the perfect, like, juror.
Yeah, that's great. I wonder, all 12 of these people from, or they live in Manhattan, would just so fascinated by the people that they grabbed out of that incredible place.
Just like, how do you find 12 people from Manhattan who, like, one, either doesn't know Donald Trump socially anyway, or hasn't been screwed over by Donald Trump in some way?
Yeah, it's like, you really, and I know they were, like, complaining, like, essentially, it's going to be really hard to find impartial jurors in Manhattan. It's like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't commit crimes in the places in which you live. Like,
yeah, that was the thing about DC too. It's like, how can we have an impartial jury there? It's like, well, you shouldn't have tried to overthrow the government.
You can't commit crimes in the places where like people hate you. Like, yeah, that seems not
ideal.
Yeah, that seems like a bad thing to do, if you ask me. Speaking of which, free NBA Youngboy. I don't know if he's still in Cache County prison or jail or whatever is going on. But I don't know. We talked about this on the podcast, right? About NBA. Okay. So Youngboy never broke again. It's been a while, but at one point we talked about the Billboard article that covered Youngboy moving to a nice ass house in Salt Lake. He bought a house up there, up on the mountainside. back in, I think he probably did that in 2021 or 2022. I think the article was in 2022. But he did this as part of a house arrest like agreement, where I think he got like a potential lighter sentence by saying he would move out of Louisiana, I think, and then going to Utah. And I don't know. I saw somebody say his wife had like family here or something. I can't remember if that was in the article. And I'm not going to go through the article again. But he was on house arrest. And this, there's a really good Billboard piece about this that I recommend you read if this interests you. But basically, the first I heard about this was like, NBA young boy is going to convert to Mormonism. And I was like, what? It's like, how in the world could that possibly happen? That's when I found the article. That's when I read what is taking place here. And essentially, the missionaries were going to his house and he's on house arrest, so he can't leave. And he can only have like a certain number of limit of visitors. And at first he turned them away, but eventually he started to let the missionaries in and they were spending time there. And he, at one point, like, he was receiving the missionary discussions and then said that as soon as he was off house arrest, he would get baptized, which if he really wanted to get baptized, they could have baptized him at his house. Like, he has a pool.
I just like that he was using like the Uncle Junior exemption just for missionaries.
I know. It's so good. So I don't know if he ever did get baptized. My sense is that he did not. He was essentially, there was a warrant out for his arrest. It was supposedly done in tandem with like the FBI, Homeland Security. There were like a bunch of different bureaus involved. And he was arrested at his home in Mill Creek and taken all the way up to Logan. And I don't think he committed crimes in Logan. I think from what I was reading, they sometimes just take federal people who commit federal crimes up there. And I don't know why that is, but apparently in the Cache Valley jail, they just have all sorts of people up there. So yeah, he's currently booked, as of yesterday, it was booked in Cache County, and there wasn't a bail.
Since he is a high profile individual, maybe they had to move him to the one place where no one would know who he was. Yeah. Logan, Utah.
Yeah. Okay. So this says, okay, wow, there's been an update. Maybe, okay, he was rapper Youngboy, NBA Youngboy, arrested near Huntsville in large-scale prescription fraud ring. officers descended on the Utah. Okay, why does it say Huntsville? Were the crimes committed in Huntsville? I must figure this out. He was arrested near Huntsville, but the other thing says he was arrested at his house. Wait, he moved to Huntsville? He bought a separate house in Huntsville. He may have sold the initial one. On Tuesday, a search warrant was executed at Galden's multimillion-dollar mansion in the unincorporated area of Weber County, northeast of Huntsville, where they found doxycycline prescribed to Caroline White, codeine prescribed to Galden with a false date of birth, and an unlabeled codeine. They also say a gun was found. Okay, this is boring. Let him go. This sucks. I can't believe he sold that house and moved to Huntsville. The house is for sale right now, the Mill Creek one. This is fascinating to me.
Maybe he just wanted to be closer to the lake or something.
A previous version incorrectly said Galden was arrested at his Mill Creek home. The arrest took place at his Weber County property. I wonder, he must have both. Good for him.
He must. But honestly, for this state, a little bit of like pills and guns, like I thought we were better than this, Utah.
I thought we were too. So I guess he was up that direction. So that's not too far from Cache Valley, I guess. Wow. Okay. So that sucks. Don't like that. Let him go. He didn't do anything. But anyway, yeah, Donald Trump, shout out to that trial. I heard Michael Cohen is going to testify against him. Is that correct?
I guess. I don't know. I know he got yelled at for being on his phone by the judge today, which honestly, that makes him a little more relatable in my book, but...
That's yeah. That
get off
that
your rules. Phone. I'm sorry.
I mean, like, yeah. I don't know. I wonder what's going to happen with any of that stuff. I've not put any. I think the biggest impact is that Donald Trump has to actually be in court like four times a week for like 9 weeks or something. So,
you know what? I know people say that's going to be a problem for the election season and all that, but as you can see by the Republican fundraising arms that have existed so far, they're going to be fine without that. After all, they have zero money put into pretty much any race anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't feel like any of this stuff is real, but maybe, I don't know, keeping him off of the campaign trail, maybe
I was thinking about that too. It's like everything just feels fake at this point.
Yeah, like do I?
Everything just feels like it's on rails.
Yeah. But we're moving along, man. It's going well. Man, there's so many, like, we don't have Greg's well-defined outline to guide us through the discussions today. But of course, there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot going on. We could go so much. I don't really have any thoughts on Spencer Cox giving a disagree better TED Talk, other than of course he did.
It's the same shit. We've called him the TED Talk governor in the past, and now he's officially the TED Talk governor.
He literally was the only there was like a TED Talk conference, I guess. I don't know if they're normally conferences or what, but
in another country too. Like, he went to Vancouver.
Was in Canada?
Yeah, it was in Vancouver. Just be like, gosh, everyone, we just need to like come together and just agree that we're right. Like,
dude. Yeah, it's awesome.
Like, he brought up his ad from the governor's race too, with like, I did an ad with a Democrat, and guess what, it instilled hope in my heart that we can all get along. And it's like, okay, man, you can stop sucking your dick on stage. Like, we get it. You've been chasing that dragon for nearly 4 years now, and no one cares. As a matter of fact, all the people you were trying to reach that ad kind of fucking hate you now.
So I had to go to Canada for it. I mean, yeah, I don't even know. That's not for anyone. There's no one that is for. Like,
no.
The constituency, the liberals he was appealing to with that type of stuff before, like, as he became governor, right before he became governor, all do not like him now because of everything he did. Yeah. So, like, I don't know. Then the actual, you know, the real Republican base, you know, has a little bit of a different patina in Utah, but it's, you know, the red meat is still very much still Trumpy at the end of the day. But anyway, and a lot of them are unhappy with Spencer Cox, but they love when he does stuff like say anti-trans things and say like refers to trans healthcare as gendered or genital mutilation and that type of stuff. Yeah. They love that stuff. That's for the hogs. But somewhat related, I guess, is that, and I'm going to need you to give me some information about this, but this is an article from ABC4, a story that's been happening this over the last couple of days. Students walk out of Utah middle school to protest furries. What the hell is going on here? What? Why? So I first saw this because somebody was quote tweeting libs of TikTok. That was a video of a few kids outside of a middle school, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it was the middle school that we're talking about
here. Okay, outside the middle school that were. I didn't even care to listen to the video, but it was essentially. I saw the caption that said that they were protesting furries being allowed to like bite kids or something.
off of the like just first step in a very like realistic thing that's definitely happening.
Okay, yeah. So let's start with this. Several students and adults participated in an hours-long walkout from Utah's Mount Nebo Middle School on Wednesday. This is in Payson, Utah. Footloose town. The reason for the protest? Furries. A petition was started online on Sunday. Christ. With an initial target of 500 signatures, a number of signatures that was reached by Wednesday, prompting the goal to increase to 1,000. The description for the petition says that the administration of the school should more strictly enforce the district's dress code. Specifically, supporters of the petition are trying to get stronger enforcement for the following section of the dress code. Jewelry, accessories, tattoos, facial hair, and other elements of a student's appearance that draw undue attention, distract, disrupt, or otherwise interfere with the learning atmosphere at school or at school activities and events, or that create a health, safety, or welfare issue are prohibited. There's
the hot topic clause. Got it.
Yeah. Okay. So then there's a section that's what is a furry? Furry is a fandom. A furry named Strudel told ABC4. We don't think that we're animals. Okay. The reason why this is a thing is that there has been a conflation of like somehow people think that like furries and like trans people are the same. Like,
yeah.
Joe Rogan is partially responsible for this because do you remember? Because they use the word like because of the word identify or whatever. They're like so caught up on the word identify. They identify as an attack helicopter, that whole hilarious joke. They're so caught up on the word identify. And I don't know if like furries say they identify as something. I had a roommate who was a furry or was into that stuff. And it certainly is not. Listen, I don't know anyone who's a member of the furry community, but like, I don't think that's the same thing as being trans.
I don't have anything
trans.
Against furries or anything.
I don't
like
either.
That too.
I just like,
I'm just really enjoying the spectacle of someone who went to journalism school having to ask questions of someone named Strudel.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. But like Joe Rogan, there was a whole thing where he claimed that he knew teachers who said they had to put out like litter boxes for kids or something. And like, this was like a big, somehow was like the same as doing trans stuff.
Yeah.
Transifying kids.
And it turns out those like kitty litter kits inside classrooms and that was about like keeping kids locked down during a mass shooting or something.
Yeah. And there were no, yeah, it, there was not, it's so stupid.
It anyway. Is a dystopian view of America, but just not the one you thought.
According to WebMD, a furry is someone who has
great
interest
poll. Love
in
it already.
With human
very
qualities
academic.
And someone who dresses up as a cartoon like version of an animal. I really like the idea of animals that walk and talk. So I'm going to dress up as one as kind of a fun sort of cosplay thing, Strudel said. Strudel said there's a difference between furries and a group called Varians who believe that on some level they are an animal. WebMD said people who are often interested in becoming furries find some sense of community, though some of the drawbacks they may face are negative stereotypes and social stigmas. Okay, so why did the students protest furries? Videos of the protest were shared on social media by Adam Bartholomew of Main Street Media, Utah. Students who walked out expressed some of their grievances, even calling for the expulsion and banning of the furries. When Bartholomew asked if the parents knew they were out protesting, the students answered with a resounding yes. Several
the good thing about
be,
all this is like junior high kids never lie.
So true. They never do. Several children can be seen holding signs reading "Compelled speech is not free speech."
Definitely on theme. Good job. And
another was holding a sign that said, "I will not comply." And another sign said, "We just wanted to learn."
So there's some interesting backstories about this. Like Brian Schott from The Trib has been kind of talking about this a little bit too. Adam Bartholomew is the wife of Kari Bartholomew, who is running for school board in Southern Utah County right now.
Nice.
And the GOP convention is on Saturday. So if you wanted to, you could probably draw up some sort of conclusion that this is all just a crock of shit to try and cause some sort of controversy before that, especially because Adam Bartholomew, the guy who is interviewing these kids, is that person's wife. I mean, that person's husband. Yeah. So, I mean, like, a lot of this just feels like it was just like thrown together to be like, we got to protest something.
Yeah.
What are we protesting? Books or anything like that? No. Furries. Well, I already made my signs for the books. So what do we do?
The multi-purpose protest signs. Oh my God. Okay. We believe we're standing up.
I highly doubt like a middle schooler has a sign that says compelled speech is not free speech. Like that
I know,
does
that's
not
incredible. Like, yeah, whose parent did their homework on that one? The students said there are attacks from furries every day, but we're unsure of how many furries there actually were at the school, shouting out numbers ranging from 5 to 100 who identify as such. The school's furry population is accused of biting, scratching, spraying air freshener on, barking at, and chasing other students. We're standing up for what we believe is right, a student said.
20% of the school population is furries and growing.
Oh my God. Okay. What do school officials say? A lot of the information that's put out there is completely incorrect and inaccurate, Nebo School District Public Information Officer Seth Sorensen told ABC4. While Sorensen said there have been issues with harassment or students making others feel uncomfortable or unsafe, he said most of the claims online are false. The administration at the school addressed that with the entire student body and they sent out a couple emails. Some of those emails were misinterpreted and parents took to online formats to voice some of their concerns and questions. Sorensen said that students are not dressing up as cats and dogs, and because there is a dress code in place, he doesn't think that videos have been shared online or from Nebo schools. Sorensen emphasized the main goals of the district are open communication and student safety. Today, we had some students and parents choose to exercise their right to assemble and do a little protest for what they perceived was something that was happening in the school. It is actually not something that's been occurring.
The phrase little protest is so bitchy that I love it. For what they perceived
was something that was happening. What a sentence. And do a little protest for what they perceived was something that was happening.
That is a person that is at the end of their rope today.
Dude, he's like, their little protest for something they perceived was something that was happening. That's so good.
That's one step away from these fucking people, man. I don't know what to tell you.
He said that reports of students dressing as animals are a little bit inaccurate, saying students wearing headbands with ears are similar to students wearing bows and sports jerseys. Sorensen said it's just what students of this age do. Interestingly enough, they really didn't address us with anything they wanted changed, Sorensen said of the protesters. He encouraged concerned parties to come into school and speak with administrators. We want every student to feel safe when they come to school, and we want students to get along. Let's all come together and try to support one another, and let's overlook any differences that we have and really be a community.
Well, I mean, when you're dealing with people this like maliciously stupid, they're not looking for solutions. They're just looking to just make noise.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. good big things are happening. In Nebo School District.
I love it too. Like this is the furry Footloose we've always been looking for.
It really is.
We have the fiery John Lithgow preacher trying to come down on the furries who just want to, you know, be animals or something.
It's a beautiful thing.
By the way, Mike Lee tweeted about this too.
Did he really?
Yes, he did. What did old Mike have to say from Based Mike Lee?
Did he tweet it from Based Mike Lee account?
He did.
Oh.
Why is this even a close call? Students who behave like animals and bite classmates should be expelled. Administrators who defend such behavior should be fired.
I just love that these people, like the most scrutinized, some of the, like the most scrutinized job you can have in this country.
Is a teacher are, like, in Utah.
Teachers in Utah. And like for somebody to earnestly believe that teachers and administrators are just like letting kids act as animals and justifying them biting other students is so insane.
And like the ABC4 segment that we're kind of quoting from and all that too has videos of kids that are like, I guess, supposedly some sort of proof about this.
Oh.
No one's in a furry outfit.
No. So I don't know what's going on.
At a certain point, I'm just thinking this is all just a big nutty pile of bullshit. But you know, it's going to make the rounds. And because Shia Raychick decided to retweet this into her masses of just insane mouth breathers.
Dude, I saw people posting the address of the principal there.
Yeah. No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
I saw that posted. I went to like the first reply and it was like, here's the person in charge of the school. And I was like, are you serious? Like just instantly Chaya Raychick just has her. I'm getting a phone call. Whoops. And yeah, but it's just insane.
It is insane. And like, that's the thing, like this, like the fact that you have this sort of like terrorism that goes on just by like, here's this school in this city, go do your thing.
Yeah.
Like stochastic terrorism. It's like, oh yeah, well, you know, I don't say it personally, but I just say that Mount Nebo Middle School, something should be done there about this.
Yeah.
And they're going to have like fucking a month of bomb threats there because people are fucking insane.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, unironic critical support to the people at Nebo. Cause holy shit.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, that sucks. That really sucks.
Yeah, and of course, like it feels like they're trying to like these like United Utah Parents United people are trying to like feel their oats now that Natalie Klein got shit canned at the convention.
Mm-hmm. So So the woman who started the is she a counselor? I can't remember what her position was.
The state school board.
State school board. That's right. She was the one who essentially had like they're doing their transvestigation on a high school girls basketball player and essentially accusing this like random girl of actually being trans. And that's why she was good or something. I don't really know what the impetus was. And essentially that was used by all of the legislature to essentially try to distance themselves from being called transphobic, despite everything that they do legislatively being incredibly transphobic. But they were very brave to speak out against Natalie Klein about this. And basically, they voted to censure her, I believe. They did not vote to remove her from her position, which they could have done. And then she ended up losing her election anyway. So brave.
Yeah. So brave.
So, yeah, good stuff all around. That happened. I think she lost earlier this week or last week, whatever it was.
Last week. And now we're just going to have this more and more. And, you know.
Yeah.
Doesn't change anything, doesn't fix anything, but, you know, like, that's the thing, too, is, like the performance of, like, the student they said was, like, trans or something like that wasn't, like, world-breaking. It wasn't, like, Cheryl Miller levels of, like, dominance. Like, the student scored, like, 20 points in the game.
Yeah.
Like, went 7 of, like, 13 from the field, and that, like, that was enough, like, no, that's actually a man.
Yeah, just instantly. Yeah, so that's a bummer. But she is gone. So, well, hey, she's lurking somewhere. So that'll fix all the problems.
We always love a good thing, right?
We certainly do. Let's see. Other Utah stuff that's going on. I don't know, but I know that, like, all the Columbia protesters at Columbia right now are all got arrested today. That was good. We could talk about.
We bravely stood up to the idea of a two-state solution today in the UN. That was fun.
That's right. There was some type of resolution to, like, officially recognize Palestine.
Yeah, as because a state. So Palestine right now is the PLO, Pacific, or the Palestinian Authority. It kind of depends on who you call it. Palestine only has observer status in the UN. So essentially what that resolution would have done was bump them up from observer status to actually a full scale member of the UN.
Yeah.
And so, of course, we can't allow that, despite us saying, like, well, we need a two-state solution for there to be everlasting peace in the Middle East. But, you know, if we give full membership in the UN to Palestine, that also means we have to treat Palestine like an actual country, as opposed to, like, you know, a subjugated state of Israel.
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane. I'm sure we can expect all of the normal free speech warriors who are always railing about college campuses standing up for all of these Columbia students, including Ilhan Omar's daughter, I believe, who goes there. And she's been suspended from school. She said, "I'm an organizer with CU Apartheid Divest Columbia. In my 3 years at Bernard College, I've never been reprimanded or received any disciplinary warnings. I just received notice that I am one of 3 students suspended for standing in solidarity with Palestinians facing a genocide." She tweeted that earlier today. And then, of course, we saw a video of all of the arrests taking place with the protesters who were essentially sitting in. But that was pretty wild. And I guess right now I'm seeing some news about there being explosions in Iraq and Syria and possibly Iran. So,
yep. Ken Klipp is just saying U.S. officials reportedly confirming Israeli airstrikes in Iran.
Oh, my Lord. Okay.
You know, Tom Sexton said something on the last Trillbillies that I felt like was very pertinent. And that's, Israel is just a shitty kid running around a party hitting adults.
And no one wants to be the adult to tell them to stop.
Yeah, it's like, I think Tom put it best, like, am I going to have to whip your ass the way your mom doesn't?
This is crazy. Yeah, I mean, I don't really, of course, there's, like, nothing novel to add at this point, but it's just, like, I don't know. It's just so insane that this is still going on. Yeah, reached the 6-month mark of this earlier this month. And Israel seems pretty desperate to turn this into a wider conflict. So Jerusalem Post, alleged Israeli strikes reported in Iran, Syria, and Iraq. So, boy.
Just a little shit trying to run behind mama's skirt and just, you know, try to avoid actual, you know, consequences for everything. And like, this is the same thing that happened once the, like, Iran responded their embassy getting bombed in Damascus.
Yeah,
like,
I guess we haven't even talked about that.
No, we haven't.
So last weekend, after Israel blew up the consulate, the Iranian consulate in Damascus, in order to take out a few high ranking Iranian military officials yet again. After they did that, essentially Iran waited a little while and then gave a very telegraphed response where they were like, hey, we're going to do this. And they sent over a bunch of drones, missiles at Israeli military sites, targets in Israel. United States planes, jets, whatever, and British forces shot a bunch of that stuff down. Israel shot a bunch of that down. Some targets were hit. I think only one person was injured. And it wasn't really supposed to be like a devastating military attack. But it was essentially a way for Iran to say internally, like, you know, that they're serious about this type of thing. And was a pretty measured response, all things considered. Like, we're constantly fear-mongered about like the recklessness of a country like Iran, yet they've continued to be poked and not responded in a way that's done anything. Donald Trump assassinated Soleimani and then bragged about that forever, and Iran basically did the same thing back then too. And then again with Israel, didn't really give an actual response more than that they were showing that they could do something. But yeah, it's, now that Israel has poked the bear yet again, who knows what's going to happen. So maybe
it's honestly insane too. Like after like Iran did like the softest response back to that, like every, like the American like political establishment went right back into lockstep like they were before, like they were before, right after like October 7th too. It's like, we cannot allow this unprovoked attack from Iran, which, like, do you know what the meaning of that word means?
Yeah.
Unprovoked means you did nothing. You did something. We know you did something.
Yeah. It's really insane. Yeah, I don't know. This of course will just be unfolding over the next little while.
It's exactly like I said about the election too. Like everything feels like it's on rails. Like you're just like on a slow motion, like unstoppable march towards like just the worst possible outcomes possible.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
It feels bad.
It doesn't feel good by any stretch.
No, it feels bad. But listen, what's good? What's good? Right? Go see Alex Garland's Civil War in theaters now.
I watched the last 15 minutes because someone posted on Twitter, and I'll be honest, it looks stupid.
I liked it, but I didn't like it for the reasons that, like, Alex Garland is kind of, he's like a light enlightened centrist. So like essentially the movie was, he's basically like, extremism and populism is bad.
There is no politics in the movie about a civil war.
And they're really, so you get it a little bit of a sense that like the president that everyone is like trying is like kind of revolting against is like a Donald Trumpy like person. Like you meet the character, he's like, the affect is very different, but like his actual beliefs, like journalists get murdered in DC. He disbanded the FBI and the CIA. Normal like things people like that to describe monster to Trump or whatever. Mm. Yeah. So essentially you get a little bit like that, but the vast majority of the movie is it's just basically, it's about journalism more than anything else and about war spectacle.
I saw the annoying amount of cuts to like a still photo in the middle of urban combat. See,
I love like, that shit.
That was giving me a fucking headache. I was like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
I was so into that, dude. It's not certainly not for everyone, but I had a good little time. But yeah,
Jesse Plemons seemed like he was getting it.
Jesse Plemons was getting it.
I already have my Halloween costume picked out because of that, so that's perfect. Good news is I have most of it already. So
the pink glasses are.
I just gotta get the pink glasses. That's it. Everything else is pretty much just falling into place.
There was a sniper with like a trans flag on his arm, I think, if I remember correctly. But Alex Garland, I think, was seeking to make Come and See. He did not do that. He made something else, but I enjoyed it. I saw that shit in IMAX.
Because I heard the Trillbillies talk about it too, and it's like, there is something just completely unsettling about having a war about civil, having a movie about a civil war, and then like showing none of the actual things that would happen within the civil war. Like a lot of it just seems like, oh yeah, half the country, nothing's happening. It's really normal. And then like, we just take pictures, you know, journalism is the important thing in all this.
Yeah. Except it's some people took that movie as being like very pro-journalist. I certainly did not get that impression. If Alex Garland set out to make a pro-journalism movie, he did not accomplish that, because it is not, I do not think it paints journalists in a very positive light. Basically, my opinion is that Alex Garland can say whatever he wants about what the movie he tried to make or the things he wanted to say in that movie. And I think I disagree with every single one of them, and I still liked it a lot. So congrats to him.
That's fine. I'm going to go see the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, because you know, Guy Ritchie is having the renaissance right now, and it is.
We already have an Inglourious Bastards at home. Yeah.
Oh, does the other Inglourious Bastards have Jack Reacher in it? I don't think
that's
so.
That's right.
I want to see a 6'6" man that weighs 270 pounds of pure muscle crush a Nazi, okay?
Yeah.
That sounds wonderful.
It is too bad that Greg died since the last time we recorded, because it would be nice to have him for this one to give his opinions on these matters. But send good vibes to Greg and his corpse. He didn't actually die. He almost died a little
bit. We'll see if we can resurrect him. I got the necromancer here. We're going to
see
close. What we can do, folks. It's touch and go, but we'll see what we can do.
It was touch and go. Nice. Well, Jordan, anything else we want to talk about?
No, I'm going to go think about my mortality since
cool.
Israel's doing airstrikes on Iran. So,
yeah. You know. It's like every tweet on my timeline is about this now. You know, okay, cool.
I'm gonna do something to take my mind off of it. I'm going to go watch Fallout.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, I can't think of a better way to like chill and take my mind off of the prospects of global warfare than watch a TV show about the end result of a nuclear apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Yeah. That's perfect. Right on.
It's a good show.
Yeah, fits the mood.
Go Brotherhood of Steel, I guess. I don't know.
Well, everyone, thank you very much for listening. It's been a pleasure. We will see you all next week. Have a good life out there. Yeah. Huh? Hopefully things are okay by the next time we talk.
Young Money. Don't forget the Patreon.
That's right. The Patreon.
Give us money. We do stuff every now and then.
Who knows how much longer we've got left. Let's live it up together on patreon.com/BrighamYoungMoney.
Yeah. We have a Discord too. We'll let you in.
That's right. Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.